Tug's Parsha, Parsha's Akeb, continues Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, his valedictory speech to the Jewish nation, encouraging us to keep mitzvos, to stay away from sins, reminding us of our big failings. Parsha's Dvarim, he reminded us of the failing of the sin of the spies. Parsha's Akeb, he reminds us of the failing of the golden calf and the shattering of the tablets. And we began the Shema, last week's parasha in Va'eschanan, with the first paragraph of Shema, Shema, and Va'ahavta. The second paragraph of Shema, V'hayam Shamoa. If you listen to the mitzvos, you'll succeed in the land. If you don't, you won't. That's in this week's parasha, in Parshas Akev. One of the interesting features of the parasha is that the parsha repeatedly has discussion of the land of Israel. For example, this week's parsha has the famous pasuk describing the fruits of the land of Israel: Eretz Chita Saora Gefen Te'ena V'Rimon, Eretz Zeis Shem Nudvash, the land of wheat and barley, of grapes, of figs, of pomegranates, the land of olive oil and date honey. That's in this week's parsha. So it's a good parsha to study a little bit about the specialness of the land of Israel. My teacher, Rav Wolfson, they recently put out a book in English all about Eretz Yisrael in the thought of Rav Wolfson. It's called Sacred Soil. I put out about a year ago. And it has a lot of his wonderful Divrei Torah about the land of Israel. So starting off, again, this week's parsha has the verse describing the land as the land of seven species: wheat, barley, grapes, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. And the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah and in Masechet Yoma says that these measurements are these fruits are actually the source for all sorts of measurements that we have in halacha. So for example, whenever the halacha is you're supposed to eat, let's say you're supposed to eat matzah on Pesach night, or you're not supposed to eat pork, definition of eating is an olive, because in the land of Israel there was the fruit of an olive. If a person is carrying food on Shabbos, so he has to carry a significant amount of food to be violating the law of carrying on Shabbos. A significant amount of food is a fig worth. If you have a vessel and it springs a hole, so if the hole is very big, then the vessel is no longer usable. Once it's no longer usable, it becomes pure. So what's the definition of a very big hole? A hole big enough for a pomegranate to fall out. If a person is eating, then he stops eating, then he starts eating again, the two different acts of eating could combine and be considered a single act of eating, provided that they both happened within the span of time that it takes to eat half a loaf of bread. What type of bread? Wheat bread. That's what the Torah talks about, wheat. On Yom Kippur, the Torah says, afflict yourself. So the prohibition is not to eat an amount that would settle a person down. The definition of an amount that would settle a person down is a date. Hence the mention of dates. The law of impurity of a dead body is such that even a bone of a human corpse can transmit impurity if it's under the same roof as the human being. And the definition of a bone is the bone the size of a barley seed. So here you have a hint to barley. So all the different fruits, wheat, barley, they all are actually references to the measures, the shiurim of the Torah. But then the Gemara says that actually it's not really from the verse. It's really halacha l'Moshe miSinai. It's a tradition that Hashem gave to Moshe at Sinai, all the different measurements. And Gemara Masechet Yuma, the Gemara says that the measurements are halacha l'Moshe miSinai, but others say it actually comes from the Bezdin of Yavetz, and Yavetz was a name for Asniel ben Knaz. Asniel ben Knaz was the first shofet, the first leader after Yehoshua ben Nun, and he instituted these measurements. So Rav Wolfson said, to try to make sense of all these different sources, the Gemara tells us in Tmura that there were many laws that were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu died. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, the people mourned, and in their mourning, hundreds of laws, maybe even thousands of laws, were forgotten. And the Gemara says, but even though they were forgotten, Hechziran Asniel ben Knaz bepilpulo, Asniel ben Knaz was able to restore these laws through creative analysis. The different ways of study. You can learn on a simple level, you can learn on a more homiletical level, and then you can learn through creative analysis, pilpul. Through the pilpul, through the creative analysis of Asniel ben Knaz, he was able to bring back the laws that were forgotten when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. So which laws? So now we can resolve the Gemara Numa. The Gemara Numa says that the measurements, which the Gemara in Sukkah links to the verse about the characteristics of the land of Israel, the Gemara in Yuma says that the measurements, Shiurim Shel Torah, is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. But the other opinion says it's not a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, it's from Asniel ben Knaz. Well, there is a connection between Asniel ben Knaz and Moshe. The Gemara says that when Moshe died, many laws were forgotten until Asniel ben Knaz brought them back with pilpul. So we can say, let's put these two things together. Which laws were forgotten? The laws of measurements. And Asniel ben Knaz brought them back. So when the Gemara says that the laws of measurements come from Halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that was before they were forgotten. Then when the other opinion says that the laws of measurements come from Asniel ben Knaz, that is a reference to the fact that after Asniel ben Knaz restored them through his pilpul, through his creative logic, now it comes from Asniel ben Knaz. But really both points are true. So why of all the laws that Moshe taught, were these laws the laws that were forgotten? So Rav Wolfson explains in the following way. We say in our davening, God, please, v'sein chelkenu b'sorasecha. One way to read that is, please God, give us our portion in your Torah. Give us the share that we are entitled to from your Torah. In other words, every Jew has a certain part of Torah that's his part of Torah. That's the part that he connects to a great deal. There was a very big tzaddik in Poland, Rav Naftali of Rapshitz. Rav Naftali of Rapshitz was a student of the great Noam Elimelech, Rabbi Elimelech of Luzhensky. Rapshitz, or Hasidim would say, is the main student of the Noam Elimelech. And he was someone who was extremely wise, extremely loyal to the Creator, and extremely devoted to serving Hashem. Rav Naftali of Rapshitz, he supposedly said that his mitzvah was the mitzvah of Sukkah. And so every single day of the year, he was always busy with Sukkah. He was either learning Masechta Sukkah, preparing for Sukkah, teaching about Sukkah, helping Sukkah. Everything was about Sukkah, because he's connected to all the mitzvahs, but especially his mitzvah was the mitzvah of Sukkah. We find that there were Jews, used to be a practice that they would take on one mitzvah to be very, very expert in. There's a holy Jew in Yerushalayim, in the old city. His name is Rav Nevinsal. Rav Nevinsal is a really remarkable person. If you ever talk to him at all, his face is going to light up at the biggest smile. He's always so happy and joyous, especially when he quotes Divrei Torah. He's always, always learning. He was a chavrusa with his teacher of Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Together they completed all of Shas. It's 2,771 pages. 50 times over the span of 48 years. They learned together twice a week. Besides that, his son told me, his son and I were friends in yeshiva, he said his father, since he's been married, learns every day 14 pages of Shas. So he finishes the entire Shas twice a year. He's learning 14 pages a day. So Rav Nevinsal, supposedly his mitzvah is the mitzvah of Shabbos. I was told that he knows the laws of Shabbos so well that not only does he keep all the laws that are in the code of Jewish law, he personally keeps every single law that is proposed in Hilchos Shabbos. So there are a lot of laws that the Gemara has a havamin about. The Gemara says, well, maybe this. The Gemara, no, this is not. It's that. All the maybe this, he keeps all of that too, in regards to Hilchos Shabbos. So everybody's got their mitzvah. If I had to say, you know, it seems Rav Nevin Sal's, his mitzvah is Shabbos, that he's so connected. Everybody has their mitzvah. That's their thing that they're drawn to. There were Jews who their mitzvah was tzitzis. They're so careful, you know, about tzitzis or about Netilas Yadayim. Everybody has their mitzvah. So Rav Wolfson says, how do you know what's your mitzvah? How do you know where's the place where I'm going to feel the real sense of, this is my purpose, this is my soul, this is me expressing who I really am. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say like this, it's going to be a mitzvah that a person has tremendous desire for. It's a real attraction for this mitzvah. He's pulled to it. It doesn't make sense, but he's pulled to it. And then when he tries to do it, there's so many obstacles. If the two things are there together, he has a tremendous attraction, like a magnet, and there's so many obstacles in his way, then he knows this is his mitzvah. This is his mitzvah. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu love so much, wanted so much? The mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. Begged Hashem, last week's parasha of Eschanan, 515 times, 515 prayers, please, please allow me into Eretz Yisrael. And how hard was it for Moshe to go to Eretz Yisrael? Obstacle after obstacle. No, 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 you can't go, you can't go. So maybe we can say that Moshe Rabbeinu's mitzvah is the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. He wants to go into Eretz Yisrael. He's desperate to go in. There's so many challenges stopping him from going into Eretz Yisrael. We should realize that he will come to Eretz Yisrael. The verse says, V'yasa rashei am, and he will lead the heads of the nation. When the dead are going to come back to life, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead them, and he's going to lead them back into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the leader of Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Arachayim HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama had a piece of the neshama of Mashiach. And when Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama will combine with David HaMelech's neshama, that's when we'll get Mashiach Tzidkenu. And he's going to come, and he's going to reveal a whole new level of Torah, a new level of understanding. This week's parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu talks about how special Eretz Yisrael is, and how special the fruits of Eretz Yisrael are. Eretz Chito, Sa'ora, V'gefen, U'te'ena, V'rimon, a land of wheat, and barley, and grapes, and dates, and pomegranates. The Gemara keeps telling us that what are these fruits? These fruits are the Shi'urim Shel Torah. These fruits teach us the measurements of Torah. Olives, Kezias, pomegranate, at what point a vessel becomes pure when it has a hole in it. Wheat, you know, because de achilas pras. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is not a physical land. Physically, Eretz Yisrael looks like Syria. It looks like Jordan. My brother took his kids yesterday on a trip up to the Golan. So they went on a hike there, and they rented a tzimmer, you know, a little room you find online. So it was in a moshav called Alonea Bashan. It's 2 miles from the Syrian border. He said they heard the ground shaking. They heard explosions. When they were hiking, they could see the smoke from Syria. This has been going on for 7 years. 7 years that Syria is having bombings and explosions and nebuch smoke. And amazing, Hashem put his Shechina on Eretz Yisrael. It's right next door. The same people, the Druze are here, the Druze are there. Hashem is protecting Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. It's above nature. Eretz Yisrael physically looks like Syria, looks like Jordan. It's the same topography, it's the same climate. But Eretz Yisrael spiritually is totally different. It's the land of Am Yisrael. You see, a Jew looks out from the outside like anybody else. But when you go past the way he looks on the outside, you get into the neshama. The neshama of a Jew is different from everybody else. The Jewish neshama is an attraction for Hashem. The Jewish neshama comes from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Jewish neshama is drawn to Hashem. Eretz Yisrael is a neshama land. On the externals, it looks physical, but on the internal, it's a spiritual land. So you know what Eretz Yisrael's fruits are? The laws of Torah. Because that's what makes these fruits special. Because that's what makes the land special. The land itself radiates Torah. It radiates the law of an olive size for eating. It radiates the law of a pomegranate size for purifying a vessel. The specialness of the fruit is expressed in the laws of Torah that are in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what a special land. Eretz Chita. This is the land with the law of Kedei Achilas Pras. Seora. This is the land of Etzem Kesora. This is the land of Geffen, of the laws of Revius Yayin, a quarter of a log of wine. It's what Nazir is not allowed to drink, and what you have to drink at it from a kosher bracha, from a cup of blessing. This is the land of Te'ena, of carrying on Shabbos laws, and Rimon, the laws of holes the size of a pomegranate. This is the law. This is the land of Eretz Yisrael. So if Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is connected to Eretz Yisrael, because that's his mitzvah, and these laws, the laws of the measurements, are laws of Eretz Yisrael. They're laws of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, so the whole nation felt less of a connection to these mitzvahs. And we forgot. We forgot the laws of the measurements. We were disconnected from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does the Gemara say in Masechta Tmura? Hirzira Masniel ben Knaz bipilpula. Masniel ben Knaz restored these laws. How did he restore these laws? Through pilpulo, through his analysis, through his creativity. The Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim that when Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, he said, Moshe, here's something only for you, the power of pilpul, the power to creatively figure things out. And Moshe, the Gemara said, had tovas ayin, so generous. He said, I'm not going to keep it for myself. All the Jews can have it. And he shared it with the rest of Am Yisrael. So Asniel ben Kenaz, when he saw laws of Moshe Rabbeinu being forgotten, what does he do? He brings them back through the methodology of Moshe Rabbeinu, through pilpul, through the creative analysis of halacha. Because when he's using the creative analysis, which is a gift of Moshe Rabbeinu, he has the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu with him. And with the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu, he can bring back the laws of the measurements of Torah. The measurements of Torah are the laws of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And those are the laws of Eretz Yisrael, which Moshe Rabbeinu has a very deep connection to. Eretz Yisrael has such specialness. The Chasam Sofer says, the verse says in last week's parsha, "Vishamata Yisrael, listen, Jews, Vishamarta lasos, and keep to fulfill the mitzvos, asher yitzav lach, so that'll be good for you. Kasher diber Hashem Elokei Avosecha lach, as God, the Lord of your fathers, has spoken to you and given, promised you, Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, a land flowing with milk and flowing with honey." Chasam Sofer says in the book of Devarim, again and again there's discussion about Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. Eretz Chitos Or of a Geffen Tein of Rimon. Eretz Zeh Shemun Udvash. Eretz. The land. Why so much about the land? So the Chasam Sofer said like this. What's the purpose of the book of Devarim? The book of Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu giving a speech to the Jewish people to inspire us to have fear of God and to listen to the mitzvahs and not to have sins like we had in the desert. When you want to inspire someone, sometimes you say, you know, think of Big Tzaddik, think of Naftali of Rapshitz, think of the Gaon of Vilna, think of the Baal Shem Tov. Think of these holy people. You mentioned the name of Tzaddikim. I remember, I haven't seen it lately, but years ago when my parents used to take us to Eretz Yisrael. So when we would be in Tel Aviv getting the luggage off of the conveyor belts, I remember distinctly boxes that people had packed that would have on it Levi Yitzchak ben Sara Sasha. Because Levi Yitzchak ben Sara Sasha is the name of Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev. So Chassidim used to just write the name, Levi Yitzchak ben Sara Sasha. It's a skula. It's going to protect me. I have the name of a tzaddik on the luggage. I'll find the luggage. I haven't seen it lately, but years ago I remember seeing that a lot. Levi Yitzchak ben Sara Sasha, all over pieces of luggage. Chassam Sofer says, Moshe Rabbeinu wants to inspire the Jewish people to fear God, to be loyal to God. So he says, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael. Because the more times you say Eretz Yisrael, the more you inspire the people. That every mention of Eretz Yisrael, just mentioning Eretz Yisrael, already creates Yirat Shemayim. It creates fear of heaven. This is the land of Hashem, the land that Hashem is watching. So just saying Israel, Israel, Eretz Yisrael, that already creates inspiration and feeling, oh, Hashem is watching me. I have to fulfill the mitzvahs. I have to listen to what Hashem wants me to do. So Moshe Rabbeinu in the book of Dvarim is trying to inspire us to be Yirei Shemayim, to fear God. He says, Eretz, Eretz of Aschal of Advash, Eretz Eishemen, Eretz Chitos Ora, Eretz Adama, Eretz Adama, the land, the land, the land. Because every time he mentions the land, the more Yirat Shemayim a person's going to have. So it says the Chassam Sofer, the Pasuk says, V'shamata Yisrael, when you hear the name of a great Jew, the Shamar Talasos, that inspires you to observe the laws and to fulfill them. And how do you know that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps mentioning Eretz, 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 Eretz Chalav Udvash. He keeps mentioning Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. He's mentioning Eretz Yisrael for this reason. And that's what you have to work to, that you should also get to such a level. That your name itself should be a name of a holy tzaddik, like Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, that your name should inspire people to serve Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, Kasher Dibur Hashem Lach, Eretz Avas Chalav Udvash, like Hashem Yisbarach has spoken to you, the land flowing with milk and honey. So Reb Wolfson says, if then just saying the words Eretz Yisrael creates Yirat Shemayim, can you imagine what being in Eretz Yisrael does to create Yirat Shemayim? Taking a step in Eretz Yisrael, what it does to create Yirat Shemayim? So maybe that's the pshat of the pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk says, "Pachtechem u'morachem yitan Hashem elokeichem al pnei kol aretz asher tidruchu ba." Your fear and your awe, God will place on the entire land that you step on. Kasher diber lochem. As God spoke to you, this power of pachtechem, of being afraid of Hashem, that's going to happen, asher tidruchuba, by walking through the land of Israel. Kasher diber lachem. Just like when he speaks to you, he keeps saying, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, because just saying Eretz Yisrael will create inspiration. So certainly walking in the land is going to create the inspiration. Walking in the land itself is going to create the sense of Yirat Shemayim and closeness to Hashem. Rav Wolfson points out that it's not just walking in the land, but it's eating the produce of Eretz Yisrael. When a person merits to eat from the produce of Eretz Yisrael, that adds Kedusha to a person. Because as we just said, that Eretz Yisrael is a land which is a spiritual land. So if you eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you're eating shiurim shel Torah, the measurements of Torah. That creates added kedusha in a person. And that creates added holiness. Maybe when Moshe sent the spies, he told the spies to take from the fruits. Maybe what Moshe wanted was that they should take from the fruits and eat from the fruits. Because if they would eat from the fruits, they would have the holiness of Eretz Yisrael inside of them. When you eat something, it becomes part of your blood. It becomes part of your very being. You wanted them to have
from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, to eat from Eretz Yisrael, to feel it inside of them. They unfortunately sinned. They took from the fruits and decided to use the fruits to build their case that it's not a good land, people shouldn't go. But had they eaten from the fruits, maybe that would have also added to the kedusha that they were feeling. You know, this week's parsha, we have the mitzvah of benching. The Torah says, "V'achalta v'savata, uveirachta Hashem Elokecha la'aretz hatova shenasan lach." You'll eat, you'll be full, you'll bless Hashem your God on the good land that He's given you. So, in benching, we say, we thank God, and we say to God, "Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu." We will thank you, Hashem our God, al shein chalta la'avoseinu, that you've given as an inheritance to our ancestors, eretz chenda, a beloved land, tova, which is good, urechava, and which is wide. So the Chassidim ask, there's a lot to say about Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing, right? It's the land Hashem is watching. As we said in the Kinos on Tisha B'Av, it's the land where Ruach Elokim, in the 36th Kina, the Spirit of God, Ruach HaKodesh, Tishtapachnaf, rolls off, is poured out on the holy stones. It's an amazing place. It's the place of Am Yisrael. The Maharal says that the whole idea of Arevos, that Jews are responsible for each other, that I need to make sure to try to get other Jews to also learn Torah, to fulfill mitzvos, and to everyone should fulfill the laws of Hashem. This mutual responsibility that if I already made Kiddush, but you haven't made Kiddush, I can make Kiddush again because I, to some degree, have not made Kiddush. But if you haven't made Kiddush, that means I haven't fully made Kiddush because I'm responsible for your Kiddush. All these laws, that only starts in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're all separate from each other. We go into Eretz Yisrael, we become united. That's why the Meraglim, they speak negatively. They're Bali Lashon Hara, so they're divisive of, you know, dividing each person from person. They're also being divided from Eretz Yisrael. And because they're divided from Eretz Yisrael, that's why they speak Lashon Hara. They don't have the Achdus, they don't have the unity, they don't have the Arevus, they don't have the sense of mutual responsibility and mutual connection. There are a lot of wonderful things you can say about Eretz Yisrael. It's a land of prophecy. It's where the Gemara says, Kahal Yisrael Sheb Eretz Yisrael. Kahal Sheb Eretz Yisrael, we call. Kahal Sheb Chutz L'Aretz, we call. If you have a community in Eretz Yisrael, it's called a community. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's not called a community. There are amazing things you can say about Eretz Yisrael. A lot of amazing, amazing things. But it's not a big land. I think you can fit the entire Eretz Yisrael in the state of New Jersey right now. It's not a big country. There are, you know, take the state of New York. Probably three times the size of Eretz Yisrael. So how do we say it? God, He gave us Eretz Chemda Tova, yeah, beloved, good land, Urechava, and wide. It's not so wide. It's a small little land. So the Hasidim say like this. There was a very big tzaddik, the Avram Dov of Avrich, who lived in Romania. He was a chassid of Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, the Ma'orei Nayim. And he wrote a sefer called Bas Ayin. And he moved from Ukraine to Tzfas in Eretz Yisrael in the 1800s. It was very, very difficult. Now, Bas Ayin, there's a story that they say about the Bas Ayin. That when he was in Romania, when he was back in Avrich, a mashulach, someone coming outside of Eretz Yisrael to try to collect money, had come. And he was asking for money. So he said to him, "Tell me what Eretz Yisrael is like." He said, "Eretz Yisrael is unbelievable. The stones of Eretz Yisrael sparkle like diamonds." The Bas Ayin came to Tzfat, and he didn't see it. They were regular stones. He said, "What's going on? I was told that the stones sparkle like diamonds. If the Mashulach said so, it has to be true." So he went into a room and he fasted, some say for 3 months, some say for an entire year. He davened, he learned Kabbalah. And when he came out, he saw that the stones of Eretz Yisrael, even though they were the same stones as before, they were sparkling like diamonds. So he gathered all of his chassidim. So we have to make him a special meal to thank Hashem. He's allowing us to truly see what Eretz Yisrael is. To see what Eretz Yisrael is. I say another story. There was a chassid of Rav Matl of Chernobyl who came back from Eretz Yisrael, and he gave his Rebbe a chassidic garment that he had gotten in Eretz Yisrael. When he was about to give it to the Rebbe, he noticed that there was mud on it. So he said, it must have gotten dirty as I was packing it. So he tried to scratch off the mud. So the Rebbe said, no. Don't scratch off such mud. This is mud of Eretz Yisrael. Mud of Eretz Yisrael is diamonds. It's precious. So if a diamond is so precious, it's not that big. Imagine if you have a diamond that's, how big is Eretz Yisrael? They say Eretz Yisrael if you would take a plane, it would take you 8 minutes to fly from one end to the other. But if you had a diamond big enough that it takes you 8 minutes of a plane ride to go from one end to the other, that's a huge diamond. So since we say Eretz Chem Da Tova, this is a beloved, good land. Ooh, it's Rechava. It's so wide. It's such a precious, huge amount. That's such an amazing idea to the power of Eretz Yisrael. Chassam Sofer never was zocher to go to Eretz Yisrael. He tried. Never zocher to arrive there. I have family members who married students of the Chassam Sofer who had come to Eretz Yisrael, but he never made it. Chassam Sofer writes something so crazy. He writes, anyone who appreciates the value of his soul and the value of Eretz Yisrael would happily give away all of his possessions and his life just to go up and see it. That's what Chassam Sofer says. If you know what Eretz Yisrael is, you'd give away everything just to see it. He had such love for Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. Chassam Sofer points out that when Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Voeschanan, is davening to Hashem to be allowed into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atah Hashem, Atah Chilosa, you've begun to show your servant your greatness, your mighty hand. Because you are the God above, and the heavens above, and the earth below. Please let me go in now to see this wonderful land. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos Daf Lamed Beis that we learn from here that before we ask a petition, a request of Hashem, we have to praise Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu, before he asked for permission to enter Eretz Yisrael, praises Hashem. You are the God, Bashamayim Imav, Al Eretz Mitachas. So the Chassam Sofer says something unbelievable. When does Moshe ask to enter into Eretz Yisrael? The very end of his life, the 40th year of his leadership. He's been davening to Hashem before, after the golden calf, after the sin of the spies, for the food, for the man, for the water, for the quails. He's davening to Hashem a lot, for Korach. Apparently in all those tefillos, he didn't first praise Hashem. He didn't first praise Hashem. Why? Because apparently he felt so close to Hashem, he could just speak without any formality. Just ask. But now, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's diving to go past the Yarden, he's already in Eretz Yisrael. Because really, the other side of the Jordan is also Eretz Yisrael. Hashem promised Avram Avinu the territory of 10 nations. When we cross the Jordan, we only conquer the territory of 7 nations. There are the territory of another 3 nations that we are entitled to. That's why when the British mandate came out, they said you were going to get both sides of the Jordan River. And in 1922, they changed their mind. They gave away two-thirds. They gave away Jordan. They called it Trans-Jordan. They gave it to King Abdullah because he helped them during World War I. But in truth, we are entitled to both sides because that's the land promised to Avram Avinu. The land of Sichon and Og is part of that land. That's really Eretz Yisrael land. So Moshe Rabbeinu had been in part of Eretz Yisrael land, in the land of Sichon and Og. And he's davening that Hashem should allow him to cross the Yarden, to go into the part of Eretz Yisrael that's another part of Eretz Yisrael. When he came into Eretz Yisrael land, he first realized, I can't talk to Hashem Hamish. I can't just say, Hashem, let me in. There's formality. I have to ask Hashem, and I first have to praise Hashem. It's unbelievable. Moshe now realizes this. He spent 40 days on Har Sinai getting the first Luchos. Then another 40 days asking for forgiveness. Then another 40 days getting the second Luchos. The angels converse with him, the Gemara says in Shabbos. And he didn't yet realize that he should first praise Hashem before he asks for something. Listen to what the Chasam Sofer says. This teaches you that the ground of Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than the heavens over Chutz Laretz. The heavens over Har Sinai are not as holy as the ground of Eretz Yisrael. So when Moshe Rabbeinu is in a little bit of the ground of Eretz Yisrael, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly realizes, oh my gosh, Hashem. I have to praise Him and then I can ask for something. This is what the Chasam Sofer says. And that's why Rav Wolfson says, the Pasuk says, Hei na shamayim, ushmei ha-shamayim, lo yechal kalucha. Shlomo HaMelech says, the heavens and the heavens above the heavens can't contain you. Will this house be able to contain you? So what's the heavens above the heavens? So Chasam Sofer says, the heavens is the heavens. And what's the heavens above the heavens? Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is even higher than the heavens. That's how special Eretz Yisrael is. And that's the amazing, amazing Kedusha that's in Eretz Yisrael. Ideally, Jews should be thrilled about Eretz Yisrael. You know, there were, before they had tissues, so when someone had phlegm, they used to spit it out of their mouth and then rub it into the soil with their shoe. When Rav Elia Lapian moved to Eretz Yisrael, he had been born in Poland in 1876. When he was 52, he moved to London. He was the Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva there, Eitz Chaim, for 22 years. When he was 74, he finally moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he lived in Eretz Yisrael for another 20 years. He had a very, very long life. He was 94 when he passed away. And he was lived in Yerushalayim, used to come to Chevron Yeshiva sometimes. He was Mashgiach in Yeshiva in Kfar Chasidim. So Rav Elia Lapian said that when he came to Eretz Yisrael for the first few months, whenever he felt any phlegm, he couldn't spit it out of his mouth. How could he spit on the ground of Eretz Yisrael? How could he possibly make such holy ground a little bit dirty? This is the ground which is, according to the Chasam Sofer, even higher than the heavens above Chutz Laretz. And maybe that's why we find that there's a special power of tefillah in Eretz Yisrael. The Chasam Sofer points out that all other places in the world, they have an angel that's for that place. So there's an angel for America, there's an angel for France. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's directly under Hashem. So when you daven in Eretz Yisrael, you're directly relating to Hashem. And since you're directly relating to Hashem, that has the power of tefillah that you don't have anywhere else. Very, very special power of tefillah. We find that the Navi Yeshayahu says, Ki vesi beis tefillah yikare l'chalo amim. For my house will be the house of prayer for all the nations. And that comes from Eretz Yisrael. From Eretz Yisrael will come the tefillos. And the tefillos will be accepted from Eretz Yisrael. Now, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael have tremendous, tremendous significance. We said that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael relate to Torah, to Halacha. Achsam Sofer says that the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as Zavas Chalav Udvash, flowing with milk and honey. Why Chalav Udvash? So Achsam Sofer says, because in Shir HaShirim it says, Dvash v'chalav tachas l'shoneich. Honey and milk are under your tongue, a reference to learning Torah l'shma. When you learn Torah for its sake, it's like sweet honey and sweet milk. And Eretz Yisrael's fruits have a little bit of that holiness, of that Torah, of that Kedusha. There's an amazing thing when we think about it. Come Pesach, we stop praying for rain. We stop saying V'sein Talu Matar, we stop saying Mashav Ruach Mered Hagashem. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael, rain after Pesach is not a bracha. It's not a good thing to have rain after Pesach. It's not good. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be hot after Pesach. So we stop praying for rain. No, for 1,000 years, there were hardly any Jews in Eretz Yisrael. There were hardly any Jews there. When the Ramban, for example, goes to Eretz Yisrael, there wasn't even a minion of Jews in Yerushalayim. There were 50 Jews in Hebron. Maybe there were 75 or 100 in Shechem. There was no one in Eretz Yisrael. There was nobody there. And yet Jews all over the world were davening according to the climate of Eretz Yisrael. Why weren't they davening according to the climate of Spain, the climate of America or Germany? Because Eretz Yisrael gives life to the rest of the world. Maybe another explanation. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the verse says, Va'ata harei Yisrael, and you the mountains of Israel, Anfechem tis'u pri, your branches should bear fruit. Ki karvu ami lavo, because my nation is coming soon. The land of Israel blossoms. The Gemara says, Ein lecha ketz megula mizeh. There's no more revealed redemption than the land of Israel blossoming. So Jews throughout history were praying. We were praying that the land of Israel, that the rain should come according to what's in the land of Israel. Because we're praying for the fruit to again grow. Because that's the sign of redemption. We're so lucky. We live in a time where the fruits of Eretz Yisrael don't just grow. They're the best fruits of the world. They produce more than any other trees in the world. They're sweeter than any other trees in the world. All the different countries want to have fruits and produce of Eretz Yisrael. This is a sign of redemption. Hopefully Mashiach will come soon. Bezrat Hashem. Okay.